podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Please, please, please don't arrest me. Don't arrest me. Don't you know I got an ounce of hash in my dashboard? Officer, don't test me.
And register. Step out of the vehicle.
All right, hold on. Let me sing this last chorus.
No, now.
Come on, dude. It's only like 2 minutes, and we took all this time to record. Jordan, run it.
Please, please, please don't arrest me. Don't arrest me. Don't you know I got an ounce of hash in my dashboard? Officer, don't test me.
Thank you. local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
It's the flight and the fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So care about
by your speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to tell?
Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, providing you with the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, AltRockRadio.ca, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, RootoRadio.com, on the beaches of San Diego, California. Let's see, xrpradio.co.uk in Birmingham, United Kingdom. And who am I forgetting? BillDeSean.com, clearly my radio station. This is episode number 570. With me tonight is Steve Hawk. What's up, Steve?
How are you doing, Bill?
I'm doing good. I do have to go off script already.
There goes our plans.
That's right. So someone told me tonight that I was more important than him. Do you know who?
Someone told you that you are more important than him.
Yep. Someone that you've spoken to today.
I'm guessing probably, is it a musician?
No, but you're on the right track.
Probably Andy Jubik.
No.
No? Andy Jubik's always talking to all these people that I know. You don't know him probably, but if you're in our scene, he just kind of sneaks his way in. And he's been my roadie for probably about 3 or 4 years now. And he's always messaging everybody behind the scenes. And I'll be like, they'll reach out to me and they'll be like, hey, I talked to Andy today. I was like, Andy who? Oh, but what? You talked to Jubik? I didn't know you knew him. Okay, let's see here. Not a musician.
Nope. You talked to him in person. Now you think I'm stalking you.
Yeah, I didn't know you were that good at hide and seek. I give up. Who?
Craig Ferry.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, Craig. I just saw him about an hour ago. I should have known.
He said
he was going to message you.
He said I tried to get him to play acoustic or play at an open mic tonight. He said, but he told me that he had to go talk to you. So apparently you're more important than me.
So well, just this one time, Craig, just this one time.
So thanks for proving that point.
I mix a lot of shows with a lot of fun and it's nice that the radio and podcast interviews are starting to come in as well. It's really exciting. And I had to prioritize. I love playing open mics, and there's nothing better than like playing a place like that, stepping up on stage. People don't know who you are, and then like by the time you're done, they're like, okay, we need to know this guy. You know, it's so much fun.
So where were you guys hanging out at? I didn't even get a chance to ask him.
We were at Bellaterra in Hunker, Pennsylvania. Brad Abbott, I think you've had him on the show.
I have.
He and I are we're playing a small show. I don't know how small or large it's going to be. The bar is small. It's a place in Youngwood, Pennsylvania. On Friday, we're playing at Delaney's Pub. And I figured that since Brad and I are doing this on Friday, I'd go and support his open mic tonight and see what was going on. I was hoping to maybe get in early and play a song or two and then come join you, but it just didn't work out.
I drive through that area daily. I teach in Belle Vernon, so coming down 70 right past all of those places. Yep.
I'm trying to get on. I'm trying to get officially sponsored by IC Light, but right now I'm unofficially sponsored. So I'm gonna be drinking it.
All right, so we're gonna start right off. You recently re-released Forgotten Nobody's album, Missing Screws. What brought that about? Other than it being 15 years, what made you decide to do that?
Well, I quite honestly, I wanted to do it 5 years ago for the 10th anniversary. 15 is kind of a weird number to have, you know, a commemoration of. But honestly, when my band put the CD together, I sold all my copies, and the copies that I saved for myself either got lost, traded, destroyed in my car. You know, I'm very hard on CDs, or at least I was. I mainly stick to Spotify now. But over the years, it was just such a poignant album in my life, and it was such good rock and roll. I mean, if I do say so myself, that's kind of a, you know, a pompous thing to say, and I'm not a pompous person. But I knew that it got us a lot of favor on Pittsburgh radio back in like mid-2000s, Butler Radio. We were huge on MySpace. And when we fizzled out, it was just, number one, a big surprise to me because I thought we were going somewhere. But number two, it was something that it was such a good disc, such a good album, and such a major part of my life that when I went digital with my first professional album, my only acoustic album, Steve Hawk, The Demons in My Heart's Home, I had it in the back burner that I was going to re-release this album, mainly just so that I could always have it. That was kind of a selfish thing for me. I didn't really promote it largely because it was an old album. I'm not really playing full band now, and I didn't want people to get the idea that that's where I was going artistically. If people want to listen to it, I play a lot of the songs still live, but I'm only acoustic. So I wanted people to get a feeling of, you know, and I've talked it up so much. Like I'm in this band. I was in this band. We were really good, but I didn't have anything to show for it other than just my word of mouth. So I wanted to put something out there that people could actually listen to and say, oh yeah, you know, I could kind of see the progression of Steve, and you know, I can kind of see where he came from. And there were still a lot of very important, meaningful songs on that album too. And that's one reason why I still play a lot of those live. So quite honestly, I just wanted to make sure that it was always out there. So that maybe someday if I had kids or something, or, you know, whatever life came my way, I could just say, hey, this is me. Or if I'm not playing anymore, this was me. And, you know, just kind of leave my legacy somewhere, you know.
Sorry, I was doing a little research while you were talking. I was listening, but
no, that's fine. I thought I'd put you to sleep. I was like, well, there goes the interview.
No. I was here writing down.
Ah, nice.
Can you see what I wrote up there?
Sort of. It's a little blurry, and I don't want my face to get so huge.
Well, I ran out of room, so it only says Glutton for Punish.
Maybe I'll sing it that way this weekend. Yeah, Glutton for Punishment was off of The Demons in My Heart's Home.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to do, usually in the break, in between the questions, I play two tracks. So I think I'm going to play Tommy's Not Coming Home off of the Forgotten Nobody track or album.
Five.
And then I'm going to play Glutton for Punishment from some guy named Steve as well.
He's a loser. Big loser. No, that's become a huge crowd favorite. I remember when I first wrote it, I was just living in I was in a college fraternity at the time. And I talk about that all the time. That's old news to my good friends and fans. But I played that one all around the house, and people really dug into that one. They dug their claws into that pretty good. And so I played it with Forgotten Nobody, but we never recorded it. So whenever The Demons in My Heart's Home was being recorded, that was one that I had to land on there. And at the shows, it's turning out to be such a big hit to my friends and fans who really know my music. They sing along. They you know, they dance, they fall onto their knees at the poignant punchline at the end. One friend in particular, I'll never forget that. That was a good time. But they have different reactions to the song. And that's one that I'm really glad I put on there, because it's one when I play it live. It's a better live song than it is a recorded song, just because of the emotion, the energy. But it is a fan favorite, and I'm glad that people are latching onto that, because it's a fun one to play.
Well, we're learning a little bit about your history. Let's go back a little further. Can you tell me about the day that you realized that you were going to be a musician?
It's really funny. I was just having this conversation with somebody at work the other day. It was a young kid, and he was talking about going to school. And I told him about, just like you, you're a teacher. I said, it's funny how I'm in this place right now, because I never thought I'd be here. I went to school to be a teacher, but the only reason I'm not is I didn't pursue it far enough. And I always, when I was, it goes in stages. When I was a kid picking up the guitar for the first time, I think I was like 14, and I was playing my brother's guitar, and I've talked about that in countless interviews. I would play on the front stairs of my porch as if I was already famous, and I had maybe two songs and none of them were mine. And I'd play for my friends, and they had to be rolling their eyes because they were the same damn songs over and over again. I was always in like county choruses, and I was always in high school musicals. Well, not musicals, but chorus. And I was always in front of people. But I remember being in high school going to see bands and being like, man, I wonder what that's like. And I remember just the little rush I got from being on stage for like chorus concerts, but I didn't feel like myself because it was other people's music, and it wasn't necessarily what I wanted to do. I wanted to rock. I wanted to be a rock and roller. I wanted to play rock and roll and play it like the music that I had grown up listening to in the background, not singing for Scholastics. You know what I mean? I mean, my mom took me all over the place as a kid. I was in choruses through churches. I was in choruses through Westmoreland County Kids Chorus back in like the late 80s, I think, early 90s. I don't know the date. I was just a kid. But I always wanted to do, I wanted to be in front. Like I said, it was a stage. It happened in stages. I latched on to certain bands. My friends know it, like Social Distortion. I talk about them all the time. They were really the first band that I totally idolized and latched on to. Not just listen to the music and idolize the music, but idolized the stage show and watched to see what people were doing on stage. And it was a growth thing. When I was in college, I played my acoustic for my friends. I'd play late at night at parties, and I would play Social Distortion songs, and they'd all think it was my music, and I just kind of rolled with it because I figured, you know, if you guys don't know this music, I'm not going to tell you. If you want to believe it's me, that's awesome too, because these are awesome songs. And so it was around that time period that I kind of started building a repertoire of my own. And oh man, the first show I ever played was in my hometown in 1999. It was this place called the Broadway Bistro in downtown Scottsdale. It is now Carson's Tavern. And I was supposed to play a show there a couple weeks ago, and it got canceled because of lack of staffing. And I wanted to return there and play there again after, like, what was it, 21 years. That was 1999. And there was something in me that wanted to do it then. And I never listened to those little negative voices in the back of my head. Even people, my certain friends, certain family, when I released The Demons in My Heart's Home, he's going to hate that I said this, but my brother was just like, I was really excited because I grew up and I listened to music because of him. And I said, and we were sitting down at actually Carson's Catering, and we were having like a family dinner. And I said to him, I was like, hey, I released an album. He's like, yeah, I listened to it. It's really sad, man. And that's what he said. And I was just like, whoa, you know, I sat there really pissed off the rest of the dinner. Cause like, I idolized my brother and his music, you know, and his music choices. And he helped me to learn guitar when I was younger. And for him to say that was such a blow. But then fast forward to 2019, when I was getting a lot of really good shows, he and his wife came out and there were really good bands on stage, local guys like me. But he walked out of there and he's like, dude, he said that you were the best one on stage. You had the best music, you had the best stage presence, and we really enjoyed you. And I was just like, I guess I grew up a little bit, you know? I guess I never really answered your question. It's just been kind of a stage thing. Progression, absolutely. It's more or less, I want to do it every time there's somebody in the crowd cheering me on, singing music, enjoying my music. I don't even care about me, just enjoying my music. And so that builds me up a little bit more every time. I'm like, okay, you guys are going to get some more because you enjoy it so much.
What's been the coolest moment that you've had because of music?
That's a really cool question. I opened up for John Corabi of Motley Crue fame and Mike Tramp of White Lion at Kraft House in 2019. That was the first time I really opened up for a national act. I opened up with my band for Rusted Root at the Hard Rock Cafe. And at least that was 2007. And Duncan Sheik, you remember that dude? I'm Barely Breathing. He was like playing outside on the street, and we were just like making jokes. We're getting Duncan Sheiked, you know. That was a cool moment. It was nice to actually open up for a national act. That's how I kind of felt like I was doing something.
So with things finally starting to open back up, what venues can you not wait to play again?
Well, I'd like to get back up into Pittsburgh again. I was actually talking to a guy from Baltimore tonight. His name was Brendan. He was at the open mic. He was playing with his band. What were they called? I've got his sticker, and I really apologize to him. But he knew some guys that I knew from Baltimore, and we just got to chatting, and he was talking about how they played the Smiling Moose. I love the Smiling Moose. I've played there before with some other bands. And I'd like to get back to the Hard Rock Cafe again. It's been several years since I've been there. Club Cafe, I haven't done. No, no, sorry. I played Club Cafe once since I've done my solo thing. But that one's kind of hard to get into just because some of these places, the way that I believe Opus One Productions runs that, you kind of have to be, you know, on the in with them. And I don't think they know me very well. And I'm hoping that changes. I'd like to get back into Club Cafe again, Hard Rock Cafe. I love playing the Hard Rock Cafe, not mainly just because of the name, but I love looking up there and there's that angel staring down at you while you're on stage, the huge angel, and it's so awesome. I sometimes drift away while I'm playing that show and just kind of stare at that sculpture, you know? So those, I guess, would be some ones. But in the meantime, I told myself when I was with the band that I would play for anybody, anywhere. And that's why I'm playing small clubs. That's why I'm playing Delaney's Pub. They're just kind of getting back on their feet again. They're very small floor space wise, and it's probably going to be freaking packed. And I hope so anyway. And even if it's not, I'll play for them because some of my work friends reached out and said, we would love to. That's our bar. We're there all the time and we'd like to see you and we don't really go anywhere else. So I was like, okay, I'll bring the show to you because that's what I want to do. My old bandmates were against playing like vets clubs, private clubs. I wasn't because you need people to hear you. You're nothing without the people that come to the shows, support you, wear your shirts, buy your stickers, things like that.
So let's say that you end up getting on an international tour. And you get to choose two or three other bands from our scene to go with you. And I know that's kind of limiting, but what two or three bands or artists would you take along with you?
From my scene?
From your scene, yep.
Okay. I would definitely take my friends Fubar, Jake Hirsch from Fubar Designs my merch. He's my merch guy and we are very good friends and they have the talent. They have the ability to go national on their own.
I have a Fubar hat sitting right over there.
Yeah. I was actually wearing my Fubar hat out to open mic night tonight. I'd take Fubar. I'm a good friend of, you know, I remember things and I remember people that did favors for me. I'd probably take Brad Abbott along because I wouldn't have been able to do any shows this year because I don't have my personal sound system. And a lot of bars and, you know, breweries, they don't have their own sound system. So he's really taken one for the team and been a really good companion and an ally in the scene for me. Like I said, Adelaide and Autumn, I'd take them along because they need to be heard. They're really talented. I'd love to take them all along. You know, I can't say one is better than the other. They're just different, you know, and, I mainly would, if I were to ever go national, I would do it for favors. You know, I would take people along that have helped lift me up along the way. And, you know, my bud Ed Kelso, who helped me get started again, I don't know if his band, it's his old band, Highway Louie, that's his newer band. I don't know if they're still playing. I don't know if the pandemic knocked them out or down for the count, but he was a big influencer in getting me started again. So I'd probably take Highway Louie along too. But
I have some Highway Louie's music. Maybe we'll play some tonight.
Yeah, cool.
So time wise, we're kind of pushing.
I talked too much. I'm sorry.
So I'm probably going to cut a few questions. But I do want to mention, Charlie is in the chat as well. And he runs a website called, I believe it's Autistic and Adult. And oh man, I'm going to mess that up. I'm sorry, Charlie, but he's putting on a show with, Band Together Pittsburgh. And if you're not familiar with Band Together Pittsburgh, they are a group that, uses music to, help people that are autistic, as like the musicians are autistic that are playing.
Oh, neat. Okay. Well, that's really cool.
And, it's activeandautistic.com is his website. And then he put it in the chat.
Here, you listen here, you a-hole.
And Charlie himself is autistic, so it's something that you know, what he's doing is trying to put together events that people who are autistic or have other disabilities can go out and enjoy themselves at. And on July 16th, he's putting on a show called Metal Joins Autism. It's at the Subalpine in Turtle Creek. And I don't have it in front of me, but it's all metal bands. And you can find out more information on that by if you go to Build a Scene's Facebook page, the it's listed as an event. And probably in 2 weeks or so, First Angel Media will have an article about it. I know this because I'm writing it. So I did want to mention to check out that show on the 16th. The proceeds benefit the Band Together Pittsburgh, which is John Vento and Moondog, to throw out some scene names that people would know.
I played Moondogs.
Yeah, those two people.
That is a really cool bar. I'd like to get back there again, too.
What I want you to do is tell me a little bit about Tommy's Not Coming Home.
All right. When I gave that song to you today, I more or less just wanted a good rocking song. It's got a great bass intro, three or four part vocals. Most of them are me because I grew up harmonizing. So whenever we laid the tracks down, most of the vocals are myself harmonizing with myself. But I got Troy, my old bass player, in on one or two tracks as well. The story behind that is dark, actually. It's one of my darkest stories. I was suicidal at one point in time. I didn't talk about it because I'm very positive. I've always been a very positive person. I've tried to be to other people because other people have problems. I try not to have them. And, you know, but you're human and you sometimes get these things. It wasn't like something that I thought of all the time. It wasn't like anything that I took too far. But I knew it was something that if I didn't nip it in the bud, I would probably end up taking it to a very deep and dark place. I was probably 20 years old at the time when I wrote Tommy's Not Coming Home. And the gist of it is I got to thinking one day, I don't know what took my mind. I really got myself out of a very bad place, but somehow I talked myself out of it because I thought, what if I actually did it and my friends had to tell my mom? And I thought, how's my mom going to feel? How's my, my dad too, my parents are still together. They're wonderful people. And I took all of those feelings, those dark, deep feelings, and I wrote the song as if I was Tommy in the song. And like I am Tommy in the song, and I got outside of my body and described a story of my friends telling my mom that Tommy's not coming home. And that's pretty much the gist. And that song single-handedly saved my life. Like I said, I don't know how far I was going to take those horrible thoughts. I don't know if it's just someone with creativity or art in their body, in their blood, but you know, you hear about all this crap all the time, like artists killing themselves, artists ODing, artists being depressed. But you know what? It's not just artists. I have a lot of friends who have these emotional issues as well. And some still do. And I never really had horrible things happen to me as a child. But for some reason, that happened. The really horrible thing about that song, and this is just a really brief story. I was doing my student teaching. I think it was in Minerva, Ohio. Minerva, I believe, was the school district. And they caught gist of the fact I was doing art. I was doing my student teaching in art. But I would sometimes bring in the guitar and play music for the kids while they painted and drew. And the music teacher called me in and said, hey, I hear your music. I love your music. I want you to come play some songs. Well, me thinking like these kids want to hear a rockin' song. I played Tommy's Not Coming Home. And this girl gets up running out of the room crying. Yeah. And it turns out that her boyfriend, this was a big deal before I had come into the school. Her boyfriend had committed suicide and he was a real popular kid. And I'm thinking to myself, after making that faux pas, I mean, nobody made it as right. If I did anything horrible because I didn't know, but I felt horrible because I had no idea, what I had done to this girl emotionally. And, that's something that I'll never forget. But it's about me. It's about what could have been me if the song and whatever was deep inside of my gut took over and talked me out of it. And that's a really weird thing because usually you can't talk yourself out of something like that. But that's why I think music is so powerful. I wrote this song. I dwelled on this song. And instead of putting these harsh and dark feelings into continuing dark feelings into this hole, I was able to put it onto paper and music. And every time I hear that song, it's a keeper,
So what we're going to do now is we're going to take a moment. We're going to listen to Tommy's Not Coming Home by Forgotten Nobody. Then we're going to also listen to Glutton for Punishment by some guy named Steve.
By the phone. much further by taking his own life. Now she'll never see it first. I only blame myself. I tried to look around, but there was no one else. How could a chapter end this way? The lessons were left unsaid. The questions unanswered by her selfish son. So now, Tommy has to fade away. Because Tommy's not coming home. Coming home. It's hard to say if everything will be alright. Cause things change when you're alone. When you're all alone. I'm not connected to the brains to start with. I'm not connected to the hands that hurt. I never brought a single notion to him. So why am I stuck with all his dirt at first? Coming home. Things to me, then tell me that you love me. Do anything to me, I know that you can. I'm a glutton for punishment, sucker when you banish me, and now you're gone. Take what you can. They use me, even though they're underfoot, they break me. I guess I'm too good, that's why I must explain that I'm not finished yet. I'm just a glutton for punishment. Yeah, punish me with lies, make me break all my ties, but I love you anyway. Punish me with lies, punish me with your lies. Talk about me behind the walls. I see you laughing when I take my fall. Now I must explain that I'm not finished yet. I'm just a glutton. sluts and for punishment. Yeah, punish me with lies, make me break all my ties, but I love you anyway. Punish me with lies, punish me with your lies. Yeah, lies over lies, 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 over lies. Do wicked things to me, then tell me that you love me. Do anything to me because I know that you can. I'm a glutton for punishment, sucker when you banish me, and now you're gone. Take what you can. Take what you can. Take what you can. Take what you can.
Hey, that was Glutton for Punishment by Steve Hawk, who is hanging out with me tonight. Right before that, you heard Tommy's Not Coming Home by Forgotten Nobody, which is also Steve Hawk singing. And were you playing guitar on that?
Yes. Yes, I was lead guitarist. Lead guitar. Well, I shouldn't say lead because I was never really good at lead. But yes, I played rhythm guitar on that and vocals. And like I mentioned earlier in the interview, I did about 3 or 4 part vocal on certain parts of that song. And most of those voices were me hitting different octaves and harmonizing with the lead.
All right, so this next question is becoming the official Pennsylvania Rock Show question. And it's, who's your Dave Grohl? Which means, what band would you want to go up on stage with and play one of their originals?
Social Distortion, hands down. Hands down, Mike Ness is such a boss. If you ever see him live, he just commands a stage. He commands a stadium, a small room. I saw him in 2001 for the first time. Club M, it used to be the Metropole. And it was right after the Twin Towers fell. And I was right up front because I had to be. I idolized this guy. I just watched him in media. I watched him. And that was, you know, before there was real YouTube or anything like that. But every time I bought a punk video and he was in it, I was just like, man, this dude. And, you know, it was just one of those things that when I was a kid, I gravitated towards punk music and rock and roll. And like I said, he was just such a boss. The way he dressed, the way he like commanded his guitar and just commanded an audience. I was just like, I want to be that someday too. And I don't know how I'd feel because like I said, I can't play lead. And he's a really good lead guitarist. I'm not going to say he's the best lead guitarist out there, but he's really good with what music he produces and promotes. And but yeah, that would be a lot of fun to be up on stage with him.
What is something you wish you could do to help further the music scene?
That's a really good question. I just want to be a part of what gets noticed, not mainly for myself, but so that I can always push other people up as well. I'm the kind of person, I played Helltown Brewing in Mount Pleasant, which I don't think you're much of a drinker. You're a teacher, no. So you can't be. But they've got delicious beer, delicious beverages. I promote them all the time because they give me a really good place to play where like I'm heard by like 200 people almost every time I play there. And I let this new group called Just Those Guys come in and play a show, and they loved them. And that's just who I am. If I know somebody has talent, if I know they need to be heard and I have the outlet and the stage to do it for them, I'm going to bring them along. So I guess what I want to do is I want to just, you know, there's that adage where like, you know, what would you do if, you know, when you rise above others, I'm the guy that wants to reach down and pull other people up with me. You know, they're my friends, they're talented. The scene needs to pop. Whatever part of the scene people think I belong to, I don't know. But that's what I would do. I want to be the guy that helps other people get heard, even if they get more fame than me. You know, that's just how it is.
Hey, so I have hopefully quick answer questions here. These are two off the wall questions. You decide you're going to do another album, but it needs a full band. What band is going to back you? And here's the caveat. It has to be a disco band.
See, that's the thing, Bill. I don't know too many disco bands. But, you know, I'd say whoever backs Dua Lipa, because she put out that disco album. That was pretty. I'm not a mainstream music guy. People know that of me. I always complain about it. But I'd have to say whoever backed her, because it was pretty tight.
Last question before we throw out where everybody can find you. You're a professional baseball player, and you need a walk-up song. What song are you going to walk to the batter's box with?
Oh, dude, She Sells Sanctuary by The Cult. That's a bitchin' song, man. The lead, my brother got to see them play live, and that's all I'm going to say, and I was so jealous. That their lead guitar work is phenomenal. Always emotional.
All right, last two questions. Also easy ones. Where can people find you online, and where can they get a hold of that Forgotten Nobody's album and the Steve Hawk solo album?
Very simple. It's all over. You can find me online. We'll start with that. You can find me online, mainly Facebook. I am going to develop
Do this.
Or build the scene.
No. What,
no?
You're on. Yep, right there says yours. Build the scene's on my side.
Okay. That was me. But nonetheless, you can find me at facebook.com/Steve Hawk Music. I do see it now. Thank you, Bill. And I'm going to try and develop a real legit website. I figured I'd do it once I got more albums out, more merch out. I want to do an online merch store. But right now you can find, like I said, find these hats, shirts. I'm going to start doing all sorts of different things. Stickers, picks. I've got guitar picks, things like that. But you can also find the album anywhere you download your music, whether it's iTunes, Amazon Prime. I use Spotify, but please support the artists. Don't just try to get music for free. Most of us don't have physical copies that we're selling at shows. So please, when you download the music, try to buy the album too. It does help us out a little bit.
And lastly, what's up next?
Lots of fun stuff. A lot of local things. I'm playing my hometown a lot this year. I think that was just one of those things that when the clouds lifted, I just reached out to what was the most, the nearest things. Like I said, when's this going to air? Is this going to air Friday?
Yep.
So today I'm going to be playing at Delaney's Pub with Brad Abbott Music. And we'll be playing 8 to midnight. That's in Youngwood, Pennsylvania. Then the following weekend, I'll be at my hometown for Scottsdale Summer Concert Series. I'll be playing in the center.
Is that the gazebo?
That is the gazebo. if you've ever come into the Fall Festival, that's where a lot of the bands play. So funny thing is, that'll be the first time I've actually played a legit show on that gazebo, even though I've played the festival several times. July, I'm pretty packed. I'm playing Sobel's Brewery in Jeanette. I'm playing Taddy Bogle's. If you enjoy hard cider, Taddy Bogle's in Acme, I'll be playing there on the 17th. I'm playing some private parties as well throughout the. I know I've missed a couple places, but my summer is almost booked. Just go to my webpage. Go to the fan page. Rock out with your Hawk out, Steve Hawk fans. Ask to join. You'll get my contact right away. I'll be the one probably accepting you in. And then if you like this interview, this podcast, or want to know anything else, come find me. Talk to me. I do a lot of things. I'm promoting nightly on that page. So that's where you'll find out a lot about my upcoming shows.
At the beginning of the show, I mentioned a bunch of web streaming radio stations. XRP is one of them. What will happen here at the end of this show is you'll hear John American Hill, Jack Lane, tell you how to subscribe and to come back to listen. But what he doesn't say is to make sure if you're listening to one of those stations that you stay on that station and listen to more unsigned rock and metal and other genres. And if you're on megarockradio.net, you're going to get a mix of signed bands and unsigned bands, but hang out there too. Mega Rock Radio has been supporting me pretty much since day one. And that's the 107.1 FM in St. Louis, same station. So make sure you hang out and listen to the music on those stations. If you're at XRP Radio, you could actually, right on their website, go and purchase tracks that you hear that you like. Any bands that would like to add their music to that vast collection, all you have to do is go, you sign up, create an album, upload your song, and the only money that is taken is the money that goes to credit card processor. Everything else goes directly to you. So
it's awesome.
Hey, right, so Steve, I do want to thank you for hanging out with me tonight.
Ah, thank you, Bill. It's been a lot of fun. Can I say one thing before we leave?
Absolutely.
Hey guys, rock out with your hawk out. I've always wanted to say that in an interview. Bill, thank you very much, man.
You're welcome. I want to thank those of you that are hanging out and chat with us as well. Chris Thunderwolf Thoughts, and check him out at, yeah, completely blank there. Wolfscustoms.online. I want to thank Charlie also from activeandautistic.com. Make sure you check out his show July 16th at Subalpine in Turtle Creek, which benefits the band Together Pittsburgh. And, anyway, this has been episode number 570 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Check us out each and every week. Friday is the release date. We also do three questions and a song, which is on the 1st and 15th of the month. And on the second Saturday of each of the month, you can check us out at xrpradio.co.uk on the, I think we're calling it the Build the Scene First Angel Media XRP Radio battle or something like that. I don't think we really have a great name for it yet. We'll work on it. My name is Bill. We'll catch you next week. Up against the wall.
watched it fall.
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.